My truth, my way. Disclaimer. There is an overall theme around experiences with abuse, mention of mistreatment by medical professionals, and the failing on the legal system in regards to keeping young people safe from abuse. For people with my specific disability, abuse often plays a role in its development. While it wasn't the case for me, medical professionals always jump to that conclusion, for no other reason that I am trans with a migrant father from the Middle East. The first time this happened was during my first admission. The head of psychiatry and her team entered my room. I got asked the typical questions, but I could tell her mind was elsewhere. Her attention was at my parents, but in particular my dad. Moments later, she asked my parents to leave the room. The first words that came out of her mouth was whether my dad was hurting me. She then corrected herself to say if either one of my parents were hurting me, in hope to hide her bias. I wasn't able to verbalize fully, and I struggled to answer her questions, but instead of supporting me, this lady kept putting words into my mouth as if she could find a reason to call Child Protective Services. I thought this would be a one-off, but I was gravely mistaken. I roll into every appointment dreading the look of medical professionals' faces when they learn my diagnosis and hear my family tree. It's like a light bulb in their eyes. I've gotten so good that I can now spot the exact moment this idea pops into their head, and I try to squash it before it becomes ingrained in their minds. It hurts to know that there are so many white queers and white disabled people being abused by their parents. Some have lists of proof and evidence, but get dismissed straight away due to their parents' skin color. Their whiteness is a shield from blame. But the second my dad's full name is mentioned, or my last name, or the doctor sees how my dad's skin is slightly darker, it is without a doubt in their brain that abuse must be the cause. The only evidence needed is his darkness of his skin and my trans identity. It is not only the medical field that upholds this misconception, nor is it an experience only Middle Eastern trans people have. Often it is from well-intended people who've attempted to educate themselves on trans experiences, but fail to take into account the variety of experiences, like the doctor in my first admission. Looking back, I can see she was only looking out for me, thinking I was too afraid to come forward and get help. No one is immune from making judgments and assumptions. I too fell prey to the belief that my father would struggle to come to terms with having a trans kid. Not because he said or done anything to suggest that, rather by believing the things others had said and how the media portrayed my people. My experiences don't represent everyone. I was lucky to have a loving and supportive family. That is something that a lot of trans people don't have, regardless of ethnicity and culture. There are many POC and cowed trans young people who parents sadly weren't accepting. Therefore, this assumption is an accurate representation of their lives. I do not wish to erase their experiences, just show the other side of the coin. No one's experiences can truly capture the lived experience of a whole community. We aren't monolithic after all. All I ask for is that people are more open-minded to experiences that contradict their beliefs.